Hey friends, it's Ian, co-host of TV's Recovering Gleek : A Glee podcast. Welcome to our episode on Glee fanfiction, released from the vault, aka our Patreon. Now, since this is a capitalist society and we need to be able to pay our rent, we are not releasing the full episode. This is just a little sneak preview, if you will. It's just the first chunk. If you would like to hear the rest of it, as well as the sequel episode about Glee fanfiction, as well as several other episodes about a variety of topics, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/recoveringgleek. But for the time being, here is, straight from the vault, dusted off, ready to go, our episode on Glee fanfiction. Boom.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Can you believe you got me to read fan fiction?
After all these years of literally begging you. You know me, all I do is beg you to read fan fiction. You're like, Lena, what are you doing? And I'm like, Ian, reading fan fiction, want to read some? And you always say, no, you teenage dirtbag, get out of my face. Mm-hmm.
I say, go listen to some Iron Maiden. Are those lyrics to that song? I don't. Okay. Every morning I wake up to a text from Lena that says, good morning, is today the day you read fan fiction?
What do you always say?
I always say that day is the day that hell freezes over.
Well, baby, guess what?
Well, I hope the devil is putting on his winter jacket, everyone.
Because hell has frozen over. Look at the sky. Oh, my God. Pigs. They're flying.
Shoot. The best friends of the podcast voted, and they said, for April, we want to hear about fan fiction. And dang, yeah. My hands are tied.
Honestly, I mean, truth being told, I feel like you as a person who, I mean, you don't have a lot of experience with fan fiction, I assume, but you talk pretty highly of it. Like, I feel like you've got respect for the art form. And you know what? I've got respect for that.
I have complicated feelings about fan fiction because truly my first exposure to it was My Immortal. You know, the infamous Harry Potter fan fiction.
Like, yeah, My Immortal. Like, for real, the My Immortal? I only ever, like, saw, like, memes of it. Like, I read some of it, but, like, when it was a meme. Did you read it when it was, like, fan fiction proper?
I heard about it when it was fan fiction proper because I was very online in, like, 2008, 2009.
Chronically online.
Truly. But I never read it straight through because I started to read it and then it got too sexy and I was scandalized and I stopped. And then once I was in college, I didn't read the full thing because frankly, it was so long that like it stopped being funny. It was long.
Frankly, it's no good.
Yeah. But, that fan fiction was fully written as a satire. Mm-hmm. We did not know it at the time. We thought it was sincere, which is what made it so funny. But it has since been found out that it almost definitely was a satire. Yeah. But like for a long time, that's just what I assumed fan fiction was mm-hmm. I was like very, very, very extremely poorly written stories that have no bearings in like the reality of the world that the fan fiction is based mm-hmm. on. So I did not think highly of it for a long time. But then, you know, once fan fiction started being published into actual books that people like were buying, and then I never like went through a phase where I started reading them, but I would read like some chunks of some and be like, oh no, this is well written. And then I'd hear people talk about stuff from fan fictions that like really did delve deeper into the characters and like brought new aspects to the characters that were fresh and new, but made sense based on the source material and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what a hypocrite am I that I spend time like writing for fun as a hobby and for some reason think that like my writing is more valid because it's not based on something. Like that's so stupid.
Yeah.
So I did have to repent a little for my fan fiction prejudice.
One of my favorite books is a book called Fangirl by Rainbow mm-hmm. Rowell. And it's about a girl who writes essentially Harry Potter fan fiction. And she goes to college for fiction writing. And she's like very famous in the fan fiction sphere. Like, you know, she's, you know, for all of that. And she goes to college for fan fiction writing, and she like tests into like the upperclassman fiction writing class, and she submits for like a writing assignment, a like piece of fan fiction, like a thought experiment between like the Harry and Draco of that world. And the teacher like snaps back at her and is like, this is plagiarizing. Like, you can't do this. And so a big question of the book is like fan fiction. It's not a big question of the book, but it's certainly a big question in her education. Like, is fan fiction even real literature at all? And it's like, yeah, it's definitely valid. Like, you know, maybe your professor doesn't think so, but it's certainly valid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good book. But, and it poses some cool, some interesting questions. And then her and her professor have like some talks about like, you know, all of that. And then she like feels stunted in her own writing. Like, she doesn't know how to write like characters that aren't like thought experiments between these two characters. And that's a whole thing. It's a good book. It's a good book, but you know, something to think about. But I've always been a big fan fiction girly.
Are you aware that fan fiction girlies are getting Marvel representation?
Who?
Kamala Khan, baby. So Miss Marvel, which is a series that's coming out sometime this year. I don't know when. I don't know if Marvel has even like set a specific date, is coming out, you know, sometime this year.
Yeah.
And Kamala Khan is Miss Marvel, the hero. Mm-hmm. And her big thing, at least in the comics, and based on the trailers, there are like hints that this will still be true. Her big thing is that she is a huge in-universe Marvel fangirl and writes fan fiction about the superheroes and all this stuff. And then like happens to have powers herself and then live her dream of like being a part of the world that she's a fangirl of.
The dream. What a dream. I'm so excited to see it. Oh, that's so cool.
Also, the trailer for Ms. Marvel is so good. I'm very excited.
I haven't seen it yet. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's very exciting.
All right. I never know, like, you know, this is a bonus episode, so everyone here clearly knows who we are. So yeah. Do we introduce ourselves?
Yeah. Honestly, let's do it just to keep like with structure. So it's not like they're like, you know,
so they're not just spiraling out of control. Just yeah, so lost.
We
down
need some
is
structure
up.
Here. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I'm a fanboy, and I was about to say my age. As if
Ian,
this was like, say your name, your age, and a fun fact about yourself.
Wait, do it. Tell us a fun fact.
No, it's a secret. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about my age. My age is also not a secret. You could easily find it online. But I am a mini gleek, and my fun fact is usually that I run this podcast, frankly.
Oh, mine too.
Because it's, you know, two birds, one stone, advertising
the
podcast.
It is the funnest fact.
And also, I don't have to come up with anything. So what's my other fun fact? My other fun fact, but I've talked about this before, is that Chelsea Staub and Jason Dolley called their security guard on me when I was like 13, 14 in Disneyland.
That's a good fun fact.
That's one that I use for two truths and a lie.
Everyone just like loves Chelsea Staub and is like, oh my God.
I know, right?
I have silly questions.
And weirdly, I then met Chelsea Staub again. A few years later.
She's like from your hometown though, right?
Yeah, she went to high school with my brother for exactly one year and they had a class together.
Nice. Did you tell her like, hey, remember when you called your security on me?
No, because I guarantee she doesn't remember it. Because they didn't call it on me because I was like attacking them. I've told this story. So I don't want to like repeat it too much. So I'll just do the condensed version. My sister and I saw Jason Dolley and Chelsea Staub on Pirates of the Caribbean, and we yelled out Jason because we couldn't remember Chelsea's name. And then we left, and then we felt bad for Chelsea Staub as if her feelings were hurt that these two preteens didn't yell out her name.
Honestly, if you and I were walking around and someone yelled Ian and they didn't yell Lena, I would feel a little hurt, but I'm also not famous.
Okay, straight up me too, though. So then we waited outside of the ride so that we could be like Chelsea when she walked out, as if that would, you know, vindicate her and make her whole day.
You're so nice.
And they were in there for a long, long, long time.
They probably went on the ride like 3 times.
Well, and then some guy who was dressed far too nice to be at Disneyland came out and just kind of stood there and kept, he like was trying to look nonchalant, but he kept eyeing us. Mm-hmm. And we were like, this dude's weird. And then we moved somewhere else, but still near the ride. And then he just happened to move to a spot where he could still keep his eye on us. And then we were like, is this guy following us? So we did it a few times where we stayed in the vicinity of Pirates of the Caribbean, but moved to different spots, and he kept following us. And so then we just gave up and we like fully left. And once we were far enough from the ride, he stopped. But our theory is that they like had their security walk out and he was like, oh, those two preteens that yelled out are here, and they were all nervous about it that we were gonna try something, so they're like following us around.
Ooh.
But no, I did not.
Chelsea Staub was safe.
I did not bring that up to her when when I met her.
I hope you do someday though when you meet her a third time.
Yeah, I mean, rule of three is I have to, right?
Honestly,
it's in the stars.
That is in the stars. I genuinely believe that things come in threes, and that's the truth.
Shoot, Chelsea, coming for you.
Can I introduce myself?
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, I just talked okay. So long.
No, yes, you can. Oh my gosh, no, don't apologize. I love that story. Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am literally a professional fangirl. Everything I do because I'm a fan of something. And I make that my brand. Mm-hmm. And I love to read fan fiction. Most importantly, I'm a gleek, mini gleek. Is this a mini episode? Sure. I'm 25. And a fun fact about me is, do I have any fun things about me at all?
Yes, you do.
I don't. Fun fact about me is I'm hanging out with my friend Ian tonight. We're going to go see a Broadway show.
I boop, 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 boop. Am so excited.
Me too.
I could weep.
I know. Also, like, first time we've hung out.
Oh, truly, because last time I threw up and had COVID. And so we had to cancel it.
If
you
throw up, I'll be pissed. If I throw up, I'll be more pissed.
This is not going to happen. Don't put that energy into the universe.
Sorry.
Shout out to friend of the podcast, Natalia, who got us these tickets.
Shout out, Natalia.
Incredible, amazing, amazing, incredible. All right.
Right.
You ready to get into the fan fiction of it all?
Yeah. Have you ever, of course you haven't written fan fiction.
No, I have not written fan.
You have written fan fiction about me though. And that's true.
I've written things with characters that were meant for you to play, but the characters weren't Lena Knatzer, you know?
Well,
also, the characters are objectively horrible people, so I hope you did not think they were based on you.
I don't. I'm so not.
They're based on your skill set as an actress.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I was talking about the fan fiction of where you wrote me into the Star Wars universe, that fan fiction that you wrote.
Oh, yeah, my favorite one.
Yeah.
That then went super viral and then got published into a book. But I had to change all the really character names.
That was really crazy.
And I also wrote it legally under a pseudonym, so it could be any of them.
Yeah, wonder which one. We'll never tell. Let's talk about Glee fan fiction, shall we? So Ian and I just both picked like a handful of some of the ones people suggested. I found like a random one, but I picked one long one and then 3 short ones. And then Ian picked like 2 long ones and then 7 short ones.
3 short ones. 3 short ones. 7. Whoo! Not quite.
Okay. How do you want to break this down?
I don't even know.
I know. Okay. Ian literally texted me. I'm going to read this text because I think you dug your own grave with it. Okay, he said to me, quote, I want to do the wild ones because truly, I don't think I will give the earnest ones the praise they deserve. I've never been huge into reading romance storylines, you know, so blah, 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 blah. He essentially was like, I'm going to go for the craziest ones because, you know,
Because, like,
he doesn't want to read about the yearning.
I'm not the target audience for the yearning.
I'm the target audience for the yearning.
Exactly. If you want to hear someone who, like, loves that kind of stuff instead of someone who's like, it was well written, but it's not super my thing.
Yeah. Like you said, you're like, you know, you're not into reading romance, and I am into reading romance. So, Ian, you read a bunch of crazy ones. What was the question you were going to ask me?
Oh, I was just going to say essentially what you already said, which was like, we picked them based on submissions from the best friends of the podcast. Yes. Yada, yada, yada. We're fine.
Yeah. I read mostly yearny, cute ones. I read one smutty one. Because you guys, I opened with a smutty one and I did not realize how hard it was going to be for me to read. I will tell you here and now, I'm going to be truthful here. I love a smutty fan fiction. I'll tell you to your freaking face. But something about reading about these characters having sex in particular, I was like, I can't do it. I really can't do it. And I can't tell if that's because I know them as teenagers. Or I just like care about them like they're child, you know, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they're my young friends. So yeah. It feels a little weird to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was tougher than I anticipated. So I was like, I'm going to pivot to more yearning ones. So I don't know.
Well, let me tell you.
You didn't.
One of the ones I read was straight up pornography. Whoa! I literally, I was so, and you know, once it would start like getting too sexy, I was like, we're going to skip ahead. But like I picked it. Because usually you can tell from the description that you're like, this one's just straight up porn.
Oh, yeah. And like AO3 is very helpful. Like they have like the icons. Yeah.
One of them, the description is Blaine shoves exactly 4 lemons up his ass and shoots them off a balcony. And I was like, as wild as that is, I'm not reading it. But
you're like, I know I said wild, but not that wild.
But this one was about like, you know, it checked all the boxes for what I was looking for, which was like a fan fiction based on Glee that truly has absolutely no bearing in the world of Glee, where it's like Brittany and Quinn are centuries old vampires and they live in Lima, Ohio, and all this stuff. So I was so excited, and I did in fact read the whole thing, but those were the horniest vampires I've ever come across. Straight up,
have you met any vampires? They're always very horny.
That is like a hallmark of the vampire oeuvre.
Yeah, that was they've got like nothing going on except like boning down.
But oh my, I like there were full chapters that I probably read like 10% of because I would scroll and then check back in and be like, still having sex, got it. Scroll, okay, still having sex, got it.
That's how you read it so fast. That's how you read it so fast.
Goodness sakes. All right, well.
All right.
What was your favorite one that you read? Should we start with favorites or should we end with favorites?
Let's start with favorites.
Okay, go with favorites.
Okay, so I had like 2 couples that I was looking for fanfiction about. I really wanted a Faberi one. I really wanted a Faberi one. And then I really wanted a Blam one. And actually, these ones were suggested. This one that I'm gonna say is my favorite was suggested by, let me find.
That's smart.
Thank you. Found it. Okay. It was actually, what's the word? Suggested, sorry, by best friend of the podcast, Elsie. Hey, y'all. So this one was super cute. It's just a one shot. So if you ever want some cuteness, maybe read it. It was very sweet. But it's a Blam one, and it's called With Great Power. So, did you, and you read the description of
this? Is this the mind reading one?
It is.
Oh, heck yeah.
Let me tell you a little bit about it. Okay. So, Sam is living with the Hummels. First real words we've heard of this maybe ever, or at least I have. Honestly, it like shows, it's kind of sweet. It starts with him like eating breakfast in the morning and like Bert and Carol are around. It shows a little bit of their like, he's living with the Hummels. It's very sweet. Bert and Carol are in love. They like make out of the kitchen table. It's very sweet.
Very this sweet. Is, I also would hate if my parents did.
It's also that. Not his parents.
Oh, that I guess that's true.
It's like
that's
if
true,
my parents true. Made out of the kitchen table. So you hate you that know, too.
I'm up for it. Am.
Anyway, you know, so this is around where we're at in the show right now, where I think Blaine is not with Kurt anymore. So, and it's about season 4-ish. Super awesome. I ended up reading a lot of fan fiction that was based around season 4. And I was like, honestly, this feels good. So he randomly like wakes up one day and starts having the superpower that he can like read people's minds. And at first he is like, why is everyone like saying things twice to me? Why are people like breaking into song? Like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, and then
he lives in the Glee universe and he said, why are people breaking into song?
I know, literally. I know. Oh, let me tell you a little bit about like who wrote this. So this was written by Novelized, the AO3 user Novelized. And it's just a one shot and it's 7,000 words. It's super cute. It's got 748 kudos. Blah, 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 blah. He starts reading people's minds and then he gets the superpower that he can like put it away too. He doesn't have to read people's minds all the time, which I thought was a good thing because listen, I would never want that superpower. I've seen the Buffy episode. Mm-hmm. The day that Buffy can like listen to everyone's minds, like she goes crazy. Like, she has to like sit in her room because like everything is too loud and too terrible and everyone is too awful. Such an awful superpower, but he gets to like put it away every once in a while. And he starts like, you know, using it sparingly, especially with Blaine. Him and Blaine start getting super close and they start like spending a lot of time together. They end up like Blaine is going through a really tough time right now. Blaine really wants to make like things nice. You know, he like wants to make Blaine happy again. It's just very sweet. And he only uses his like superpower every once in a while to like, you know, clue into like what Blaine needs in this moment to like help him and like be a good friend for him. So they like play video games all the time. They hang out, blah, 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 blah. Hijinks ensue. They end up going to Scandals together.
Oh, what?
And Sam is like, I definitely can get a guy to buy my drink. No doubt, no doubt. And Blaine's like, that's silly. And he's like, okay. So they go to Scandals and, Blaine gets hit on by this guy. So Blaine and this guy start dancing and the guy tries to kiss Blaine and Blaine like puts him off and he's like, no thanks. I'm okay. And then goes back and finds Sam. Sam is like, has been bought like 10 drinks at this point from like random men. Blaine's really upset and Sam's like, what happened? And Blaine's like, well, this guy tried to kiss me and I'm not really into it. And Sam's like, why not? That's awesome. You should kiss him if you want. And Blaine's like, I don't really know. I'm not really into it right now. And then Sam's like, you know what? I try not to do this, but I'm going to read his mind right now. And then Blaine goes, he goes, I wish Sam would just kiss me right now. And
he says, oh, you can kiss my lips if you want to. Because I want to kiss yours too.
Literally Fergie in the head. And Sam at first is like, I got to get some air. Really? Give me a second. So he walks away and he like takes a drink of his drink. And then he has like a heart to heart with himself where he's like, I really have been like prioritizing this guy's happiness over my own for a long time. And he's just my friend. Is he just my friend? And it's like, there's this part where they describe, it's like when you finally like realize all these things at once and you're like, oh my God, I actually kind of like them. So he walks away resolved to kiss Blaine and then they kiss and it's awesome. And then they give each other hands in a car, and then it ends. I know it's. It doesn't describe it. It doesn't describe it. They just say they go to second base in the car.
Good for them.
But that's how it ends. But it's literally so sweet, and especially the part where they like, you know, decide where Sam is like, oh shit, I guess I really do like Blaine, and then they kiss. It's very sweet.
Dang.
So that was probably my favorite one that I read.
What was that one called?
This one was called With Great Power.
With great power.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Let me tell you the tags. The tags are telepathy, Sam being a dude bro, hashtag blam. So those are the three tags on it. Amazing. What was your favorite?
I didn't pay attention to the tags on any of mine.
Oh, you should. Tags are my favorite part of any fan fiction. That's where you can really tell what's going to go down.
All right. So I know that I was like, the yearning, like, I'm not the target audience for the yearning.
Are you the target audience for the yearning? You didn't even know it?
I don't know. So I was reading that vampire one, which I did finish.
Yeah.
But frankly, I was so overwhelmed by it because it's A, very horny, B, also like so long. That I was like, I need something else. Like, I need to read something else.
Totally.
And the most requested fan fiction was Little Numbers.
Yeah.
By I Know It Ain't Easy on LiveJournal. It was suggested by Hannah, and it was suggested by Ari. And the whole conceit of Little Numbers is that it's all through, like, text messages, like text conversations.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
And so I was like, frankly, I was very, very overwhelmed. I texted Lena and I was like, I'm afraid that we bit off more than we can chew with this episode. Like, how are we going to have time to read all of these fan fictions? And so I was like, cool. This is obviously a famous fan fiction. Multiple people suggested it. And it looks like it's a pretty quick read since it's just text conversations. So I'm just going to read this one, get it out of the way. And then, you know, I'll see if I want to continue the vampire one or I want to go to other ones, blah, blah, blah. And the first, like, two or three chapters for Little Numbers, I was like, I understand that, like, this is well written, but I think that flirting, because flirting is, like, such a vulnerable thing to do, it's very embarrassing to me.
Oh, yeah. You're like,
and so, like, reading other people's flirty conversations was truly, like, making my skin crawl.
Okay.
It was making me so uncomfortable and so embarrassed to read. And I was like, shoot, I was reading it. I was at Alex's place and I was on the train home and I was reading it on the train. And I was like, I recognize that this is good, but I don't think it's for me, but whatever. And then I, like, read it the whole train ride home, and then I read it on the elevator of my building, and I started to like it a little bit more. And then I got home, and I was like, I needed to take a shower and get ready for the day, because I had slept over at Alex's. And I was like, I'll finish this chapter, and then I'll shower. And I ended up reading, like, 12 chapters before I went and showered. And I was invested.
Yes! Okay, listen. That's my favorite feeling ever, is, like, being so, like, desensitized to... I don't know if this is exactly what happened with you, but, like, reading so much smut for so long, you're just like, whatever, 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 whatever. And then flirting happens and you're like, you're like freaked out. And then you're like invested in it. I love that.
Yeah. So what was I going to say?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. You
read 12 chapters.
Yeah. So shoot. It won me over big time. Yeah. I was like so, so into it.
Yeah.
I was just very wrapped up in this story.
Well, tell me about it.
So Little Numbers. It takes place and it also is very Glee. Like it takes place in an alternate version of Glee, but all the characters feel true to What? Yes. Earth yes, two. Exactly.
Yeah.
All the characters feel very true to the characterizations in the show, and like the world of the show feels like pretty true. It's definitely less kooky than Glee, but mm-hmm. you know, it didn't feel like someone was like, I'm going to write an original short story and then just name the characters after this show so mm-hmm. that I can get the fandom to read it. So the conceit is, it is, oh God, what year would that be? 2012, fall of 2012. And Kurt is living in New York. He is going to Parsons College studying fashion. Mm-hmm. He is rooming with Rachel in Brooklyn. She is attending NYADA. Mm-hmm. However, in this universe, Kurt never transferred to Dalton, so he never met Blaine. Blaine is still from Westerville.
Right.
Blaine still went to Dalton, all of that stuff. Blaine is attending a different college in New York that, frankly, I cannot be bothered to remember the name of, studying music like education.
Something like NYU or something.
Okay. Yeah, so something I've never heard of, Columbia? Like Juilliard. I don't
know. Brown. I don't know.
I think Brown's in Boston, I think. Oh, I think.
Brown is in Providence, Rhode Island.
So
I never applied to Ivy League, so I don't really give a damn.
Blaine one day texts someone to say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm gonna be late. A puppy threw up on me. But he enters the wrong number and it gets sent to Kurt. And then they start, Kurt responds and does the whole, like, I don't think I'm who you have this meeting with, but like, what is this puppy? Blah, blah, blah. And it starts out as a very playful, like, every Thursday they message each other and Kurt's trying to get more information out of Blaine about what is this puppy throwing up story. And it's just very innocent, a thing that they look forward to every Thursday where they just text each other because Kurt's in a boring class and they chat and yada, 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 yada. Mm-hmm. And their relationship blossoms from there. So then it starts out. It also, I'm such a sucker for this storytelling device. For the book version of found footage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like the whole story is in this case text messages. Uh-huh. But like when the whole story is newspaper articles and letters and diary entries. I eat that crap up.
Yeah, totally.
So the first few chapters are very simple. It is just Kurt and Blaine. And, you know, Blaine mentions to Kurt that he really hates Tuesdays. It's his least favorite day of the week. And then Kurt says that it's like his mission to make Kurt like Tuesdays. And, excuse me, sorry, I burped. And so he starts telling Blaine that he has a surprise for him and to go to this specific address at this time. And Blaine goes and it's a coffee shop and he has a free cup of coffee that Kurt somehow got for him and blah, blah, blah. And so, they get closer, they connect. Kurt keeps doing these surprises for Blaine, but then you find out through the text messages that Kurt has a boyfriend, drama, named Ethan.
Ethan, I hate that name. You hate that name.
I do hate that name because it sounds too much like Ian, and I got beef with that. Mm-hmm. I know. And everyone always thought my name was Ethan growing up. And then the found footage starts. They start finding more footage. Shoot. big shout out to I Know It Ain't Easy on LiveJournal. I know it ain't easy to have a whole, to write an entire 20 chapter story with different people texting and have us be able to keep track of who is texting to who. Mm-hmm. Because then it starts being like Kurt is texting Rachel mm-hmm. and Kurt is texting Ethan and Blaine is texting Wes, aka Telly Lung's character, uh-huh. who is like the head warbler. And she is so creative in the way that every time that it's a, a text from Kurt, it's in italics. Every time it's a text from Blaine, it is regular. Every time it's a text from Rachel, it is bold. Every time it's a text from Wes, it is underlined. Every time it's a text from Ethan, it's in red. There's a minor character named Alex who's in exactly one chapter who Blaine has a one-night stand with. What? And all of those texts are blue. And it's just a very lovely story. It's like a rom-com. You have Kurt finds out that Blaine hates Christmas, and he starts like planning all of these missions. But the whole thing is they never meet. They are pen pals. And so
I told you the other day, it is so queer to have a pen pal. It is so queer to have a pen pal. I
literally was thinking of that while I was reading it. Kurt starts sending Blaine out on these missions that are all of these surprises to make him fall in love with Christmas. And frankly, I know it ain't easy. If they're not a New Yorker, I'm shocked, because it's so creative how the story is written, where all of Kurt's surprises are real stuff that happens in New York around Christmas time, where, you know, he'll say, like, go to the Brooklyn Bridge at this time and look in this direction. And then she will attach a picture of the Empire State Building lit up for Christmas and what it would look like from the Brooklyn Bridge. And then he tells him to go to the museum, the American Museum of Natural History, and go to the Ocean Life Hall and look up at the ceiling. And then she attaches a picture of like what that ceiling looks like. And then Blaine at one point like sleeps over at the museum. And then at the bottom, like in the notes of that chapter, she talks about like how sleepovers at the museum are a real thing, and here's how you can do them. And then it starts getting to a point where
travel guide, oh my god,
right? I was like, I'm just gonna go to Little Numbers to like figure out what I'm doing in the city. Shoot.
Honestly,
so many ideas.
Let's have a hashtag Little Numbers Challenge Christmas of the City this year. That would be fun.
Honestly, there's a part where Kurt tells Blaine to like go on a walk around this certain block in Brooklyn, and then she attaches like the Google Maps of it, because this block is apparently famous for getting decked out.
Which block was it?
I don't remember. Little Numbers.
All right, fine. God. Twist my arm.
But then Blaine starts calling Kurt and like playing piano for him every night, and she will link. It's all text messages or it's phone conversations, and the phone conversations, they keep the like italicized or regular or bold, but it just has quotation marks around it, and that's how you know it's a phone conversation.
Yes.
And so she will have the phone conversation start, and then she will have a link to like a SoundCloud or a YouTube of what song Blaine is playing. And
I'm crying.
It's all like piano covers of specific songs. And then they like talk about in the story what song it is. So honestly, it was like a scavenger hunt where I would listen to the song that Blaine is playing and then like be reading the conversation that they're having. And also, if you go, this fan fiction is a huge, huge, huge deal in the Clayne fandom. Like, one of the most famous fan fictions.
Yeah.
There is a ton of fan art just of this fan fiction specifically. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the SoundClouds or YouTube videos that are linked in Little Numbers, most of the comments are just about Little Numbers. And like, these are not videos that were posted by the author. They're just videos that they found and linked. And still everyone is like, who's still reading Little Numbers in 2020 in the comments? It's very sweet.
I love that there was probably a huge like 2020 Little Numbers resurgence. Like, that's very
exciting. Because everyone was so lonely in quarantine that they were like, let me feel some love.
Honestly.
But I don't know. It's very sweet. It's a lot of Kurt and Blaine talking to each other, but leaving so much unsaid. And then it will get to text messages between Blaine and Wes and Kurt and Rachel, and they keep being like, am I crazy? What if he doesn't feel the same way? And blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, Kurt obviously breaks up with his boyfriend, and that's a whole thing. And then fun subplot. Also, it's really, frankly, the person who wrote this story is a good writer, genuinely. They do such a great job of keeping the conversations organic, where they do feel like actual text conversations, but giving you enough information about, you know, what happened off screen. And so, because, you know, sometimes Blaine will be talking to Wes and Wes will be like, let's go for a walk. And you don't know exactly what they talked about on the walk, but then later you can pick it from context. And it's nothing unnatural, like, well, like I said to you on the walk,
yeah,
totally. Yada, yada, yada. Oh,
that's my biggest pet peeve ever.
Mm-hmm. It's all very natural. It's all very organic. You find out the way that Kurt keeps getting Blaine free coffee is because Rachel works at the coffee shop. And so she becomes very invested in the relationship because mm-hmm. she like meets Blaine and talks to Blaine, but Blaine doesn't know at first that she's Kurt's friend. And so she's trying to play matchmaker between the two of them. And Blaine keeps coming to the coffee shop with Wes. So then one day she goes on break and like has her coffee break with the two of them. Mm-hmm. And Blaine goes to the bathroom and she and Wes are like, okay, master plan. How are we getting these two together?
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with that.
So then you have like conversations between Kurt and Blaine that are them not saying anything to each other. And then you have conversations between Kurt and Rachel and Blaine and Wes that are them being like, should I say this? I'm scared. And then conversations between Rachel and Wes that is like, I'm so sick of these two little pansies who won't say what they feel.
I'm obsessed.
And in the process, as any good rom-com should, our B-plot characters also fall in love.
Thank God. I was secretly hoping.
And in playing matchmaker, Rachel and Wes end up together too.
Like, yes.
And it's like the whole story starts, you know, with the dog throwing up on Blaine. And you find out the dog is his neighbor's dog named Bradshaw. And he takes him for a walk every Sunday.
Good name.
And the story ends with Kurt and Blaine going on their first date and they take Bradshaw for a walk. And then it just ends with like Kurt texting Blaine after mm-hmm. the date. And then that's where it ends. And honestly, it's very good.
Honestly, that sounds really good. Should I read it? That actually was a really good show.
It's also, I just feel this way about, you know, found footage books. Mm-hmm. They hook me so much because it's also kind of a mystery because so much is left unsaid. So I always get very invested.
You only getting what people are like admitting.
Mm-hmm. It's not like freaking Charles Dickens books where it's like, here's every detail of every single room. You are given no creative license in this story.
Totally.
It is just, I always get very invested very quickly because I'm trying to like, I you know, I got the pictures on the wall with the red yarn connecting all of them being like, what happened? Like, what am I not seeing?
I love that. That's so
it's
fun.
Great. It's That's very, really very, cool. very good. And That's frankly, cool. as someone who was like, I don't know if I like romance storylines. It made me very emo. It made me very invested. I was Yay. Getting so excited for these two to finally realize their feelings for each other.
Honestly, I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of my favorite like moments of any relationship, any story, anything is everyone like things clicking into place. Mm-hmm. Like you realizing that like your feelings are there or you realizing that their feelings are there. Oh my gosh, the best. I yearn for it. So good.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps like Rachel and Wes don't want Kurt and Blaine to know that they're secretly working together. Mm-hmm. And so Blaine will talk to Wes and he's like, I just, you know, he just broke up with his boyfriend. I'm sure he doesn't want anything. And Kurt's talking to Rachel and he's like, I think I'm reading too much into things. And Rachel and Wes can't be like, no, we know that he likes you.
Yeah.
I heard it from so-and-so. So they just have to try and gently push them in that direction.
Oh, the drama. Fun. The drama. I love. So fun.
Shoot.
I'll have to check that out. That actually sounds really lovely.
It's great. It's a great read.
Frankly. I'm glad. Honestly, hearing even that Kurt didn't go to Dalton is really like upsetting to me. Like they need to be together, but that's fun.
They even mention, they talk about, Rachel says like, how wild is it that you grew up so close to each other? Like that you could have, and he also did show choir in high school. Yeah. Like you definitely could have met back then. Dang.
Dang. That's awesome.
And that's a wrap, folks. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/recoveringgleek. We'll see you here next week, where we will be releasing a snippet of a different Patreon exclusive episode. And then the following week, when we get to the Hurt Locker Part 1. Have a great week. See you here, same time, next place. What? See you here, same time, same place, next week, is what I meant to say. Goodbye.